That's good preaching, brother.
Amen.
You had me worried when you started. Did you go say something to be controversial and have everybody all upset?
Well, you never know. Brother. Been a long time since I've been around these parts.
I'd like to hear you preach when your left arm's working too. That'd be but it indeed has been a glorious day, hasn't it?
Amen.
Wonderful. And, I don't think the meeting could have been any better. Been fighting some of the seasonal sinus and all, and I told Paul on the way up, I said, I'm not going to sing any today so I can kind of keep my voice. That didn't work out very well. Singing was mighty good. We've had mighty good fellowship and good preaching. And I know the hour is getting a little bit late, so we'll try to be mindful of that time. But, you know, in a meeting like this, especially if you wind up kind of late in the evening, what you thought you had on your mind in the morning, many times is not what you find you have on your mind by the time it's called.
Yeah.
And I believe I could have preached a couple of times earlier today, but I hope you still feel that way now, brother. Y'all pray for us. We'd like to, I guess the subject that's come on our mind might in some ways connect the message that our dear Brother Danny Farrell preached about peace. And on the other hand, what Brother Charles preached about warfare. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, and what a dear story that is. It's recorded in the scriptures, the love that Paul had for Timothy, and I'm sure Timothy for Paul is very special. And I'm sure to the ministers here, there are things in there that you can relate to in ways that maybe others cannot. It begins that second letter in, I'll start the third verse. I'll pray for us. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, those weren't just words. Paul's telling that, brother.
That's right.
And this is a time when Paul's near the end of his life. I don't know how long he lived after that letter was penned, but it's clear that he felt like his time was at hand. He had finished his race. His course was done.
Yep.
And we have several examples in the Bible of people's expressions of their love and concern for others near the end of their life. You know, Brother Danny preached, and at least a fair portion of it was in that wonderful conversation that Christ had with his apostles in John 14, 15, and 16. And after he'd said all those things, what did he do? He prayed to his Father for them.
Yeah.
And then he crossed over that brook
to
where he was betrayed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Here's Paul in his, I'll say his latter days, knowing what was to come to him. And he's praying for Timothy. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Well, Paul had some understanding what this preacher, Timothy, was facing.
Yep.
And he wanted to leave him some encouragement.
Yes, sir.
And some things for him to think about in those times when it was going to be hard to think about anything else except the tribulation that was at hand. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I'm going to skip over the next two verses. But we'll get that sixth. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. See, Paul is wanting to encourage this young preacher. You know, maybe Timothy had got some years, but he wasn't so young by this time it happened. But he wanted to encourage him in his ministry and in the preaching of the gospel. And I believe to you and I today, there's some encouragement for us. And you don't have to be a preacher for this to be applied to you.
Amen.
As the disciple of Christ, you know, Paul understands some of the things that you'll be facing.
Yep.
Amen.
And in verse 7, he gives them some really good words. He said, for God, You keep it. You take it as a gift of your calling. You pursue that. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And there's a lot of fear out in the world today, isn't it?
Amen. That's right.
You probably had some things this last week that might have caused you to fear.
Yep.
You know, now, God does not teach us to be careless and unconcerned. It's
right.
All right to be
right.
Concerned
right.
And in prayer for things in the world.
Amen.
That same over there in Philippians in chapter 3 where you mentioned, he said, be careful for nothing. Now, he didn't mean to be careful for nothing. I had a first cousin that did some skydiving one time. He told my grandmother about it. She said, Aubrey, you ought not tempt the Lord. You've jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. Hope you don't make it to the ground safe. Don't tempt the Lord. But he's teaching us there, don't be full of care. Don't be overcome. Because if that state, brothers and sisters, is a state that does not come from the Lord.
Right. Amen.
God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're going to talk a little bit about that word spirit. What does it mean here? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Brother Jeff did a little sentence reconstruction earlier today. Didn't change the meaning. In fact, it helped us understand. That double negative just means a positive. But we can read this same verse. Just as this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But God hath given us the spirit of power,
that's right,
and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind.
Amen.
I tell you, brothers and sisters, those things that God has given us will drive out that thing that He has not given us. Like, you know, if God didn't give us that spirit of fear, you wonder where it came from?
That's right.
The one that likes to spread fears, that likes to spread lies. That likes to spread and change your affections to other things.
Right.
You know, I found that a lot of times in our lives when we find that there's something missing, the Lord's got something to fill it up.
Amen.
I tell you what, that He drives that fear out, and He's going to fill it up with some good things for you. That will carry you through your life as a disciple. Now that word spirit there is translated from pneuma. You know, there's several meanings in there. You Bible study.
Yeah.
And there's one in there that I think is the perfect fit here. And I've written it down. I'm not really that good at remembering things. It says, the disposition or influence which fills and governs the soul.
Amen. Good. Amen.
What's filling and governing our soul? What's motivating our behavior?
Amen.
What's driving our action and our steps? Is it fear? Or is it these things that God has given to us? You know, this fear is something that will paralyze you.
Yes.
You know, people talk about being filled with dread. And there's all things out there in the world that, you know, that you can pay all of our attention to those things will distract you from your service of God as a disciple. They'll distract you from reading your Bible. You know, if you're not careful, you'll be watching Fox News because of all these fearful things that are going on.
Amen.
You may be afraid of your neighbor. You may be afraid of your boss. You may be afraid of your teacher. You may be afraid of the people in Washington, D.C. or what's going on over there in Ukraine. And it's okay to be concerned about those.
Right. Amen.
But I tell you, brothers and sisters, we are not, we don't have that spirit of fear from God.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks,
Ryan. That's right.
And He's given us three wonderful things. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power.
Yes.
You know, that word power is another one of those words that's translated in it. And the meaning of it is, inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. What could he mean? First off, I can tell you, brother and sister, it's not a power that comes just from us.
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
Because, you know, what we have would put us right over there in that spirit of fear. You know, Christ told those apostles on one occasion. We have so many examples in the Bible. It was, see, Brother Charles touched on some of this a little bit earlier. We're going to try to connect some of this. He said, you know, if you got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'd be able to move mountains. You know, faith is substance and evidence. You know, you get substance when you're born again of the Spirit.
Right.
When that fruit of the Spirit that is planted in your heart, that ability to believe in God and who God is. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, you'll pick up a lot of evidence. You'll have more faith. You're going to have more power.
Amen.
Because he said, you know, faith that moves those mountains, that don't come just any way, does it?
Right.
But with prayer and fasting.
Right.
You know, the more evidence you accumulate in your life as a disciple, the stronger the faith you're going to be.
Amen.
And the more is that spirit
Amen.
Of power that you're going to have.
Amen.
You know where you're going to get that, brothers and sisters? They asked the old bank robbers back in the day, said, well, why do you rob banks? Said, well, that's where the money is.
Amen. That's right.
Where are you going to find the evidence of God's goodness?
Right.
In his
right.
kingdom.
Kingdom.
You don't live in his kingdom?
Yeah,
you don't
right.
come to these services?
Right.
You don't think you're going to get evidence here? You don't think you're going to see so many witnesses of God's goodness when he blesses us in this meeting?
Right.
I surely hope
Amen.
To goodness that when you go home tonight, you're different than when you came today.
Yes. Amen.
But you got some things you didn't have. You learned some things. You heard some things. You felt some things. You sang some things. You prayed some things. That's good, brothers and sisters. You got more evidence when you go home than you did when you got in.
Amen.
You know, don't tell us a lot about those three Hebrew children. But when they faced Nebuchadnezzar, when they said, we're not going to bow down to this God because we know who God is.
Right.
You know, that would have been a perfect occasion to be afraid, wouldn't it?
Right.
You know, the devil put everything out there for them to have a spirit of fear, that the fear of persecution, the loss of their life, of the great king had all that power, that was going to motivate their behavior. That's going to influence them. And, you know, I don't know. I'm expecting there were very few that didn't bow.
Right.
So that wasn't their first experience of the Lord, I don't think.
Right.
But you know, how did they go into Nebuchadnezzar? What a glorious thing.
Amen.
Oh, King, we're not even careful how we answer you.
Yeah.
You know, they said, look, we know some things, and we get down to that sound mind. They had a little sound mind, so you don't have this kind of response with just one of these. You need to have all three of those spirits working there.
That's right.
So we're not even careful to answer you. You know what? We know some things.
Yeah.
We know our God is able to deliver us. Now, He may not choose to deliver us from that fire furnace, but if He does, He will.
Amen.
And whether He does or not, we're not going to bow down to you.
Amen.
They got another chance. The old devil's good at giving you another chance to bow down to Him, isn't he?
Yeah.
And if they had waffled a little bit, He'd probably give them another chance. And we know how this works out. You know, they were cast into that furnace, bound. Were they alone?
No.
The old king said, come here. Didn't we cast three in? Yeah, well, I see four, and one of them's likened to the Son of God. And there's only way he knew that.
That's right.
But you know, they come up out of there and said there wasn't even smoke on their clothes. They weren't singed at all. There was only one thing that was different, wasn't it? They went in, they were bound.
Yeah, right.
When they came out, they were not bound.
Right.
I tell you, there's one other thing different. Their faith was stronger.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, they had more evidence right there. And it doesn't tell us any more about those three brothers, but I guarantee you, I believe with all my heart and soul that they were faithful unto death to the Lord because of the things that they had seen. They'd been given that spirit of power, and it drives away that spirit of fear.
Amen.
And the spirit of love. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. God does give you the spirit of love. That spirit, that what influences your behavior in your soul. And that love is agape. You know, that is a love in action.
Amen.
We got any examples of that? Oh, goodness gracious. The very Son of God left heaven in the glory of that world to come down in here. You talk about an action.
Right.
For him to leave heaven and come down here and take upon the body of flesh. To come into a world that saw his life from the very beginning. To come unto a people that were his own, but they knew him not. They rejected him. To come into the apostles that heard his words and were with him and denied him and cursed him.
Right.
To be nailed to the cross. To be punished for our sins. Think of all the actions. To be buried into the earth. To be risen by the power. To ascend to the Father. To come back and get us one day. Those are all actions by love. And that's what are our motivations? You know, they talk about preaching to the choir. For this, you know, we don't have choirs in that sense. But I can tell you what. I know that you're here tonight. Why? What brought you here tonight? What motivated your behavior to come out here? Pick up these books and sing songs.
Amen.
And be here on Friday night, all day long worship. You know what it is? From this, the love that you have for God.
That's
what motivated your behavior. But you know, that's that love that is at the root and the core of our service to God and our desire to please Him. You know, that love can be so strong it allows us to confront our fears.
Right.
A little lady that was known to be a sinner. She was a prostitute. One evening, Jesus was having supper with one of the Pharisees. For the sake of time, we're just going to talk this story. And she came into that house. You think she thought she'd be welcome there? Can you imagine? To come into that place where she knew that she would be rejected and despised by one of those leaders. What caused her to do that? God given her a spirit of love.
Amen.
And you know, she came in and, as we know, she washed His feet. He was reclining. You know, she had to get in. You know, you weren't going to wash the Lord's feet with your tears standing up, were you?
No.
Even bending over. She was down probably as low as she could be.
Amen.
And wiped them with the hair of her head. And then she did something really special. Yes. All out of love. You know, I think that when she came in and saw Jesus, I don't think she was afraid anymore.
Right.
It might have troubled her a little bit to get. It might have been hard to get to that place.
Yeah.
Like sometimes a little child of God, it's there on one of the back benches, not to you that are on the back benches. And that preacher's telling you need to come be baptized.
Yeah.
And there's just a little fear. Maybe it's a fear of getting up in front of everybody. They might ask me, would you like to say something? And I got some words, but I don't know if they're going to be words good enough for this occasion. But that little lady, she came up there, and you know what she had? She had an alabaster box. It had those spices and ointments. You know, those are things that she had used in her former trade.
Right.
And now she's putting them to a much different and a much better use.
Yes.
You know, I think maybe his will to become hers too.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that alabaster box, alabaster is a very common material over there. It would be of no particular value. You could find it commonly around, but what that box was not common. Because it had been carved to be a receptacle of something that really smelled good and something was used to anoint her Lord.
Right.
Just like the old heart of old sinner, when the Lord makes an operation on it, and He makes that heart a receptacle of love and
right.
praise for Him. That's a precious thing.
Amen.
And it might have housed some things we had that drove our old prior life, but in a new life, we've been given a spirit of love that we might not be afraid to go forward and serve God in the way that we're called.
Right.
You know, and the Lord used that as a lesson, didn't He? That old Pharisee, you know, I find myself saying that and I just get convicted. Like I ain't never done anything like that. That Pharisee thought to himself.
Yeah.
Like everybody says, there ain't no thinking to yourself. Your spouse might not know it.
Right.
Your boss might not know it. The Lord knows it.
Amen.
He thought to himself, well, how can this man, if he just knew this woman was his touched him. Lord help. He knew her before she was.
Yes.
He knew her as one of his.
Amen.
And that's a precious thing right there.
Amen.
And he had that little saying, well, you know, who would love most? When it's given the most of the least. I'll use my words here. And even the Pharisee said, well, yeah, that one that's been forgiven the most is going to love the most. A Pharisee, like many of those, like many of God's children today, really didn't feel like the Lord had worked that hard to save them. They're pretty good folks. He just had to do a little polishing. You know, them. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that was a whole remaking project. He had to scrap it all to the ground and build it back up. See, that little lady, she knew. She knew that she was a sinner. She is convicted by that.
Yes.
But by faith and love, that drove out the fear, didn't it?
Amen.
He didn't give the spirit of fear, but he's given the spirit of power, faith. All the examples we have faith in the Bible. Spirit of love, those that, now Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can have just about everything, but if the things that you do are not motivated by love, if it's not charity, love in action,
right.
then what's it worth?
Right.
Not very much. He says, also given us the spirit of a sound mind.
Yeah.
That our behavior would be influenced by a sound mind. And that speaks to us of moderation, self-control.
Yeah.
And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's rooted in what? That's rooted in this right here.
Right.
That sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Paul, in very explicit terms, reminds and teaches Timothy about the scriptures that he had known from a youth. You know, Paul recognized his grandmother and his mother. And that's just a little side lesson right there about the blessings of being raised in a godly home. Because I guarantee you, he heard the scriptures read and he was taught the scriptures from a youth. So you continue in those things. That's everything that you need.
Right.
And brothers and sisters, if we've been given the sound mind of the truth of the gospel, that just changes our whole world, do you, doesn't
it? Amen. Amen.
We don't need to worry about the big bang, do we?
Right.
We don't need to worry about someone destroying this world in a nuclear blast. I don't believe those things. I tell you, think of all the fears that we would have, brothers and sisters, if we don't have the sound mind of God's Word to teach us these things.
Amen.
You know? The Lord had not left us without a clue.
Right.
He's blessed us with knowledge, brothers and sisters, to anchor ourselves.
Yes.
The fear that we might have that, I wake up in the morning and say, there's no way I can make it to heaven. So he teaches us we don't get there by works.
That's right.
We get there by his work.
Amen.
His finished work. And that's secure. And then we can have the same persuasion that old Paul said, that I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ.
Right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, what a glorious thing it is. The greatest fear that we're going to have is death.
Yep.
In a carnal sense. Our nature is a carnal person. It's a carnal man. That fear at the end of this life, that we can get to the point with a sound mind to understand that the day of our birth is to be mourned.
Yeah.
And we rejoice at death. Because we understand what that is, right? That's our mind. Teaches us that we don't have to be full of care and concerned and afraid for these things going out of the world, because we know that the trials of this present world aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. It teaches us, brothers and sisters, that there's one that has all power, that loved us with an everlasting love, and cared for us providentially. That's that kind of mind. That's what those Hebrew children knew. They said, we're going to be all right either way. Well, Brother Powell was a pastor at our church before me. He had heart problems, and he had a very serious heart surgery coming on, and I was with him, and the heart doctor was in there, and the heart doctor trying to, be comforting to him. So, Mr. Powell, you just don't need to worry about this. You're going to come out okay. And he said, doctor, I said, I'm going to come out of this okay either way.
Amen.
He said, if I wake up, I'll be here and I'll see my family. And if I don't wake up here, I'm going to wake up with my Lord.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to be delivered either way.
Amen.
Both of them are deliverance. That's right.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And he goes on, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. That time when Paul and Silas was taken prisoner and in the very center of the prison at midnight. Just think about that. Everything to be afraid of. Every reason to have fear that the next morning their lives are going to be taken. What did they do? Start singing. Where did that come from? That came from this one. So brothers and sisters, we hadn't been given a spirit of fear. I'm not telling you not to be concerned. I hope you are concerned. You know, because there's a war going on. We need to make sure that we're dressed and ready for war.
Amen.
You know, there's times we need to be dressed for in the service here. I think there's times when the Lord lets us wear different clothes. But I can tell you what, He's given us everything that we need to go forward and be witnesses and faithful to Him. He gave it all for us on Calvary. God bless you, is our prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Finished, obey, got all the ones that the line was empty, you know, we baptized them all, and Obey looked up and he says, "The door is open for you. Come on and join the church. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear now." He said, "The time is for you today." And do you know 32 more people come down to the church after that?
Amen.
The Spirit of God moves there just like it can here.
Yeah.
Just like it can here. But you think about what the difference is. Because has God changed?
No.
Has His Spirit changed?
No.
What's the difference in the equation? Let's think about these things. So if you have a desire to come and join the church, any one of the churches represented here, you can come down. No, it's time to come down right now.
Yeah.
Why are we saying?
193.
You may stand if you wish. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go.
His name is Joe. His name was Paul.
You know it pretty good, Paul.
Do we have any announcements, or Brother Chuck, anything that we need to discuss before tomorrow?
Just want to make sure everybody's got a place to go tonight. First of all, second, you got to be back here tomorrow.
That's right. Come back. Hear some more.
We want you anyway.
10 o'clock, right?
10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, tomorrow night at supper, we're going to have supper a little bit earlier. Because folks ain't got to work on Saturday.
Wait, 5?
5 o'clock. Yeah, instead of 5:35. Not much of a difference, but
I'd like to make this announcement. Brother Davison, Mally Davison, is at home. Sister Jean called me and said he is still having problems with, just be honest, with the catheter. He's been bleeding for nearly a week now, and they're trying. So be in prayer for them, both of them. She's not well herself, but Brother Mally is in pretty bad shape. But he is at home, and she just asking for doctors' names and things like that. So hope we're referred her in the right direction, but be in prayer for them.
Certainly do that.
We need to remember Brother Charles' brother, Garland, most of you know him. He's not doing good. And we also need to remember Brother Jim Davis. And he's been having a lot of issues.
Certainly. And Brother Charles.
We're grateful for the news, Brother Charles.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And real quick, my mother is at the point of, or at least we thought she was at the point of death, but she may live until the Lord comes back, and that'd be all right. She's tough, but she's very really unresponsive most of the time. She keeps her eyes closed and she's moving her lips and talking every now and then to us. Be in prayer for Miss Glass that the Lord would deliver her.
Yes.
Brother Joe.
Sulphur Springs, our annual meeting, second Sunday weekend in April. Elder Heath Williams and Elder Marty Smith agreed to be with us. We're looking forward to it. Want y'all to come be with us and pray for us.
What's the date on that one?
You what?
What's the date on that? Because it's
8th, 9th, and 10th, I think.
Friday night, Saturday.
We have a supper and just a big singing on Friday night, and then preaching services start Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday morning.
8th, 9th, and 10th of April.
Right.
Art, just want our meetings third weekend in July. Not sure of the date, 16th, 17th, and 18th, maybe. We'll have services Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and communion on Sunday morning. Elder Chris McCool is going to be with us at Buffalo Church. So we look forward, first time he'd ever been there. So we look forward to him coming and invite everybody. That's third week in July. I will get that memo out again before then. Just give me a heads up.
Thanks, Wes. Brother Henry, would you dismiss us tonight?
Sure. Most kind and gracious, all wise Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for thy goodness and thy mercy. This little church, this pastor, those in our home, thy children, continue to bless this little Bethel spot. Forgive us when we fail thee, O God. Thank you for what we've heard this day. Help us to be better instruments of thy service. Help us to grow closer in thy knowledge and in thy strength and in thy grace. Thank you, O God. Be with the sick and afflicted, the many that need thy tender care, O God. Thou art still the great physician, able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask for. Forgive us, O Lord. Keep us ever near thee. Watch over us on these dangerous highways. As we travel about, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all travel safe.
Thank you, we pray, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you.